Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord.
Hey, gang, Amla. Welcome, everyone. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I'm very good. I'm still on a bit of a high.
Well, you just came back from Sydney.
I came back from Sydney. We did a couple of shows with a big Turkish artist called Mustafa Sandal. We did Friday Melbourne. And we did Saturday Sydney. Big shows. Big shows.
It looked pretty impressive from the footage I saw.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. We had a really good time with the whole journey and the whole experience. Really good experience. We smashed it on stage. It was really good. People went berserk. The crowd in Sydney, they're way different to Melbourne.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
They're raw.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
They're crazy.
They're like, yeah. Melbourne's a bit more reserved and they'll scream and yell a little bit.
You mean like they're more excitable?
Like the women.
Yeah.
Like because of this artist.
Yeah.
He actually got him. The way the stage was outlaid, they had like the VIP guests at the front and they had some tables at the front for the VIP guests. But then he sort of said, "Guys, we get the tables out of the way. I want all the crowd to come to the stage." And all I saw at the front of the stage was just women, no guys. And they were yelling and screaming. And
all there's the a bit VIPs. Of a
clip. There's a bit of a clip on Instagram that I put. But yeah, it was a different crowd. It was really, really good. Really, both shows were really good. And it was just a good experience, different experience.
Yeah, that's interesting because I always thought, I'm thinking of the Sydney community in general, they're quite reserved at times and more corporate, I thought, than...
Maybe they felt it's time.
Maybe they're just like whenever they do perform. Maybe because they don't experience as many shows or gigs as we
I
have
think
in
they,
Melbourne.
They do experience shows.
But to the extent of...
To the extent of their big shows.
Yeah. Right?
In Melbourne, we've got all sorts.
Yeah, so we have gigs, yeah.
I think people get used to going to all sorts of gigs.
That's what I'm feeling in Melbourne. Know? There's like, oh, yeah, another gig.
Yeah, another gig. Yeah, another show, yeah. But the one that we had in Melbourne, they went quite berserk too.
Yeah.
Not as much as this, but they went quite rowdy. So... It was good. It was good. It was like 600 or 700 people at each show, which is a big success for the organizers and the promoters and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it was a really good experience for us. Just wanted to have a big shout out to the guys that I played with Arif Ulsoy and Harry Christodoulou. What a great bunch of guys. I think if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have been able to last the journey. So
yeah,
it was really good. Hats off to them, to those boys, and I'd work with them anywhere at any time. So, and also to the two maestros that came down from Turkey as well, Bülent Tezkan and also Tolga Kilik, who are the right-hand men of Mustafa. So it was a really good experience, really good to meet those guys. They're really high level, they're pros. They're really high level. Like one of them arranges and composes all the music for Mustafa and for other artists there. And yeah, and the other one is he plays for all these top artists and he also conducts orchestras as well. So
amazing.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Really good to have we didn't have much, well, we didn't have any rehearsal, but at the sound check, we managed to have a bit of a jam and it was really good. So top-notch artists and top-notch musicians. But it was really good to experience something different.
Yeah, of course, and on such a high end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very high end and it was
a different world, completely.
Different world.
To it say was, doing a show here at...
Completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. The energy was outstanding. The energy was really good. It was, of course, your pop sort of gig. It wasn't, now they're playing, be quiet. It wasn't that.
Yeah.
It was like they were getting ready. And then I'm talking about the crowd now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we came out, I know in Melbourne, Like, we came out first, the musicians came out first, and they already started going berserk. It was like they knew it's starting, and it was like they knew. So when we walked out, they were all already in that, you know, that sense of delirium, if you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it came out, it was just, that was it. But hopefully maybe one day me and you can experience something like that together, where they go berserk and there's 1,000 people in front of us.
I mean, that would be nice, and not with a keyboard going.
And then we just start looping in front of 1,000 people, and oh, hang on, just made a mistake, I'll start the loop again.
Or looping while everyone's screaming, so you're going to collect all the scream
in the loop.
Although you have the guitar, so you don't have that issue.
Yeah, I don't have, but if you do.
Oh, yeah. Everyone needs to shut up. But it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. But on that note as well, I also want to mention the Factory Theatre in Sydney. What a venue. What a great venue.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
And a special mention to Fabrizio, who was the sound guy. What a gentleman. And a great sound guy as well. He was so efficient, so fast, and so accommodating. And the sound was phenomenal for us on stage. Mm. Another Brazilian as well. Like my sound guy, Roland, he's Brazilian.
Yeah, yeah.
These Brazilians have got a knack for that thing.
They have great ears.
Yeah, great ears. It's like bang, bang. He knew exactly, you know, we didn't ask for much, and we didn't, you know, go overboard, but we were there for the sound check, and while they were setting up, you know, we were just chatting, and he was just awesome. So I asked a couple of things, bang, bang, he done them. It wasn't a problem at all. It was a really, really good sound, and a really great venue. Like also to the Q Room here as well, great venue, big venues, big sound. Yeah, phenomenal experience. We don't get to experience that a whole lot, you know.
No.
And when you do, it can get to the point where it's a bit overwhelming, you know.
Yeah, and it's hard. I guess in that sense, when you do experience something of that caliber and just another world, you want to go back there. Quite. It's almost like you're waiting for the next opportunity.
So true.
Yeah.
You know,
you feel a bit strange coming back. And going playing a smaller venue.
Yeah, which I've got one coming up.
Yeah.
But there's beauty in that as well.
Yeah, of course.
I think though, when you open up to things and things start coming your way, then it becomes like a drug. You become addicted to it.
Really, like even you bringing this up just brings back memories of the tour with Adam Hills, and
there you go.
One of the best experiences of my life, and
it's great, isn't
it? It's a rush, the audience, and I mean, we didn't play. We played in the last 2 to 5 minutes of the show, but
it doesn't matter,
vibe and the energy of everyone.
How did you feel being on that stage, though?
Oh, it just happened so quickly. It just felt like it was gone in a second, but. I mean, initially, we did 12 shows, I think. So the first show, I was quite nervous.
Mm.
But after that, like after I got over the nerves, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you had 2 shows.
We had
right?
2 shows, and we played like over an hour on stage. So it's the first, it's like you said, the first couple of minutes you're on stage and you're sort of like adjusting and you're, you know, you're absorbing stuff. And then after that, I actually really lived in the moment, and I'm just watching, and I'm watching all these people and just, seeing where I am at that point and thinking, this is great.
Yeah.
This is freaking awesome.
Yeah, you just feel so much like gratitude in that moment. Yeah.
And it's like the first night we were all a bit hesitant on stage as well because we no rehearsals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you didn't have any rehearsals.
Nothing. We just had just a sound check. The boys here, we had a couple of rehearsals. It was just me, Arif and Harry, but it was just bass drummer myself. My bass drums and myself, it wasn't the full thing. So, and we didn't even know which songs we were going to play until a couple of days before. So,
yeah, wow.
So when you get on there on stage on the Friday night, we were a bit hesitant as to, you know, but we still had the energy, but we were hesitant. Then in Sydney, we just let loose because we knew what to expect.
Mm.
And then we were just like laughing on stage. You know, it was really good. You know, Arif has this great energy on stage, like when playing the bass, and he was like jumping around, and he's got this great energy, great artist, you know. And Harry, what a dynamic drummer, awesome, great blokes, and it was an absolute pleasure and honor to play with them. Really great energy, and Harry had to actually play to click track and to a bit of backing as well.
That's hard to do, hats off to
Harry. He was just holding everything. It's okay, things get stuck sometimes.
Yes.
But yeah, he was just holding everything. Him and Arif were just holding everything. I mean, we were just you want some help?
continue.
Yeah, we were just they were just holding everything, and I was just flourishing in with everything. It was just great. But in saying that, and this is a very important thing for every music, if they can experience that live thing, if the musician is into live performance and everything like that, if you can experience something big like that, be very grateful.
Oh, and I'm sure, like, surely each of us would experience at least one event like that with someone, I guess a well-known artist or someone, yep, in that, whether it be like Turkish music or
whatever it is,
it's just a really unique experience, and
it's a great experience.
It's great.
And then having that experience and being with people that you really enjoy being with, people that you, musicians that you love.
Yeah, the musicians, definitely.
It's such a, it amplifies that moment even more.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so great. Like after the show on Saturday night, I did an all-nighter. We did an all-nighter. It was. And we felt a bit seedy the next day, but it was all in good
Partied
fun.
Hard.
Yeah. I felt like a rock star even though I wasn't.
But well, you were for 2 days.
I was for 2 days.
I mean, and it's on the inside that counts. If you feel like a rock star with
That's right. So true, Amla. So true.
Bit cheesy, but
It's very true. But in all of that, you know, there are some things when you think in hindsight and you think, yeah, maybe I could have played that a bit better,
Oh, we always do, regardless of how big or small the performance is, we do that so much.
But in this case, it was like I didn't actually do that at all. It was
great, yeah.
Yeah, we just played, we did it the best of our ability, and we got some really good feedback. People were coming backstage and congratulating us as a group, which was really good. And amazing. We had some familiar people actually in Melbourne, you know, come down, that we, some colleagues and musicians that we know, and they were just saying, man, just smashed it. So it was always good to hear that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Especially from your peers.
From your peers, exactly.
You know, you tend to, you tend to respect that a lot, and you tend to sort of like be very, very privileged and honored to have that feedback from your peers.
And they know you best, so.
Yeah.
And they would have heard you many times. So
that's right.
And they would tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, some of them do, some of them don't.
I mean, one would hope.
One would hope, yeah. The ones that don't say anything to you, they're the ones that probably won't tell you the truth anyway. But anyway, that's a different story. That's a different that's a different conversation.
It is, yes.
But coming back to reality, we've also got a gig.
Yeah, we do.
At the Le Monde Hotel, which I'm looking forward to.
Well, you've got one this Wednesday.
I've got one this Wednesday at Ragtime.
Yes.
Which I'm looking forward to because I'm going to be doing some stuff that I haven't really done live.
And I love that space. It's probably my favorite.
I've never played there before, so
it's so cozy. It's just a nice community of people that are there, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well. Yeah. That's why I sort of like picked it as well, because the stuff that I'm going to do is going to be some experimental stuff and some new stuff. So I want to be in that comfortable environment when I do it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, where, you know, if I do make a mistake, I don't get thrown out with spears.
No, they'll just throw some more beers at you.
But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to playing that. And I'm really looking forward to the Le Monde Hotel as well.
Yeah, me too. I really need to see. Get down and practice a bit more.
So do I. We're gonna be more than okay. But I'm really looking forward to experiencing that stage you know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, yeah, and the sound is quite nice there as well.
It is quite nice, yeah. And it is quite intimate.
So people will actually listen to us.
Yeah. And the people are great at Le Monde as well. So yeah, they're really lovely. Really looking forward to it. Also, some things that are in the pipeline. I've got we've done the artwork for my next release.
Ooh.
For the medal.
Oh, Flamenco that one medal. Is epic.
Yeah.
When is the release date?
Not sure yet, but I'm hoping in about 2-3 weeks' time.
Amazing. So I'm going to crank that.
I don't do pre-releases and stuff like that. Yeah. Once it comes out, it comes out. Yeah. So, but we did take the photos. We took some artworks, and that's done. Everything's done. Just need to put the date.
Christmas Day.
I would just crank
it in the car on Christmas Day.
You know what? I'm gonna take your advice.
Something
on that.
Different, you know? Metal release on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good idea. Actually, I might do that if I can, if they allow it, because it's not all that far away. So
yeah.
It really depends if the distributors will make that happen or not.
Yes, yes.
But I really need to pull my pants up and distribute that in that sense. But got another couple of things in the pipeline as well, which I'm working on, recording wise. And we're going to get together and do
record one of mine. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So we need to sit down and do that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
I really am.
Definitely.
I'm putting my thing out there in regards to another single that I want to release, and it's going to be an acid jazz sort of type single, so another genre yet again.
Yeah, amazing. Another That's great.
Genre. So I'm Love working that. On that, but also I also wanted to mention that all these people that are around me at this point in stage, I'm very grateful to have all these people like yourself and everyone, you know, after the gigs as well as the shows and all these projects that are lining up. It's such a good time in my life at the moment. I'm really grateful for it. It's Aww. Really opening up things and as well with this podcast.
Yeah, and, me too. I'm very grateful.
And I'm very grateful to have you on board as my co-host and to work with you. It's an absolute pleasure and honor all the time.
Thank you.
But yeah,
so much fun. I have fun. Like yeah. I love it.
So do I.
And it helps us too. Like you mentioned, you started it as well as a way to
Develop myself.
Yeah, yeah. And talking.
Yeah. I remember the first one, I was shitting myself. But then it was the first 30 seconds and then all of a sudden it was like the camera wasn't there. So
yeah, yeah, you forget. Yeah, I mean, I try not to look at it, but then part of me is like, should I be looking at it? I mean,
no,
everyone's watching over here.
See, that's the thing. When you put into your head, should I?
Yeah.
You know,
did it again.
Just leave it there. I mean, just put it on the thing. That's the thing when you ask yourself,
oh yeah,
should I?
You're already in your head.
It's already you're already in your head.
Look, we're sharing our deepest thoughts.
I know. And that thing, should I, or shouldn't I?
Well, what does Yoda say? Do or do not. There is no try.
You see, I didn't know that. I'm not a Star Wars.
No, me neither. I just remember that quote.
There you go. But yeah, it's what you feel. What if you feel that you should be doing it? Do it. If you feel that you're not really well, then chances are you're doubting yourself. And but it's such a good time at the moment, and this is episode 40. So
oh my goodness. Well, like even what you're saying, you've come to realization that all of these things, this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, you've built your business and you're going with what you actually want
to
do.
And so continuing to build.
Yeah. It's growing.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. You
know? Learning from
people.
That's
very inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been very inspired by the people around me, the musicians around me, and ultimately my family. You know? So I'm very lucky to have Anna.
Creative in her own right. Well, your whole family is very creative.
But I'm the luckiest person on this earth. But also to have these people around me and just to think about maybe 2 years ago, I wasn't in this state. I was doing other things and everything, and it's
things that didn't align.
Things that didn't align. Things that didn't align. And the people, when you have that, and then the people don't align, you don't have the contact with these people. You know, it's like, why are I doing things that I want to do?
It's a fear, right?
Yeah, it's a fear.
Well, you've managed to step out of that. Well, you've inspired me. Like this year, I feel more relaxed than I felt in a long time. Yeah, because I'm starting to pursue what I actually want to do, and I'm putting in plans and goals, strategies to.
Good on you, Amla.
You know, because good why not? May as well try. You know?
This is
the there is no try, and I just said that quote. There is no may as well.
Well, we won't say try. We'll say give it a crack. Yeah,
give it a crack. Yeah,
yeah. And the giving it a crack is a positive thing, right?
Definitely, it's better than having the regret of not.
Yeah.
Doing
exactly.
Not giving it.
It's only the one life that we have, and we're here to enjoy it.
Yeah, unless you believe in reincarnation.
I do.
Yeah, I think I do.
I do, but by the time
in this life, anyway,
in this life, you have to. There's a lot of things that you need to learn, and the one thing that you learn, I think, the most is for you to be self-aware of everything, and respect others as well. I think that's very much, very, very much the thing that people should live by. People, you don't know where people's background is. You know what people are doing in the, you know, where they are, where they're at. You know, all of a sudden you see this one person, you know, he or she is probably doing something and it's not right, and then not in a very good way. You know, you offer your help. You just ask if there's anything, you know, what's going on, if they're okay. Especially in the music industry, it's very hard. And that phone call or that thing to some person can actually make a big difference.
Yeah, even just checking in if you haven't heard from someone in a while. Like,
Definitely.
Yeah, you're right. It's so important. We don't realize the impact we have on even just people we don't know, strangers. I've done this before. I've assumed there was someone walking past me and maybe it was their resting face. I won't use the other word. And they just looked really angry, but then they actually smiled at me. Mm. And then I went, and then I realized I'd made a judgment in my mind
Maybe they saw you and they felt like smiling.
Yeah.
Maybe you changed
but
something.
Also I thought they were just an angry person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
a funny thing.
It's funny, isn't it?
That's a funny thing, especially in music. We assume a lot of things. We assume people by their performances.
Yeah, we do.
Like I assumed something from the artist that we played for on the weekend, and it was totally different. And I'm not going to go into that because I shouldn't. I'm going to keep that to myself. But that assumption, and I always say to myself, never assume, and never assume for things that people are capable of, and never assume for things that people aren't capable of as well, because sometimes you assume that people are capable of something and they don't have the knowledge or they don't know, and then they're put into a uncomfortable predicament.
Yeah.
Especially musically, like.
Yeah.
And that's not good either. Yeah, because then they're on the defensive and the morale goes down like this. You never assume. You always try and put the feelers out there to see.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true.
Up here and in their playing or whatever there is, you know. But I'm really starting to now, after 2-3 years, starting to really open up even more and enjoy what's coming my way. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to ask you, sometimes when you things are coming your way and you're not enjoying it, so you become deflective of something.
Yeah.
In the period, it's like, things aren't happening and you probably don't want things to happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're stopping those other doors opening. I guess it's also how we respond. Like I'm noticing a lot in myself. There's still a couple of things I'm doing at the moment that aren't quite aligned, but I've been reading a lot of Eckhart as well, and he says in any situation, because life is unpredictable as well. We're not going to enjoy everything, but he's saying as soon as you become, like you said before, the self-awareness, then what I'm working on at the moment is choosing either enthusiasm, bringing enthusiasm into that moment, acceptance or enjoyment. He's saying if you can't.
That's great.
Yeah, those three things he lives by.
Yeah.
I really like that because sometimes if you're not enjoying it and you can't be enthusiastic about it, you just accept it. You go, okay, this is what it is. And, you know, this is okay. Like, I mean, you just accept it. And by accepting it, that moment will pass. Every moment passes as well.
Either that moment will pass or the other two will come into play.
Exactly. But as soon as you, that's exactly
And that's a great thing to have.
Yeah.
That's what I had on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's what I have with you. Like when we're playing together, even when we're rehearsing.
Oh, it's yeah.
Everything is just
there. Yeah, it's all three.
Yeah, it's all three. And it's such a great place to be in your mind as well. And look, you know, it's funny, like when we do all that stuff, we don't think of our finances. We don't think of the debts that we have. We don't.
But it starts to come in.
Yeah.
This is what I'm noticing. Yeah. You taught me this actually because I was so stressed about my finances. I mean, I could still have a bit more money, but I've let go of that. Yeah. That stress around, soon, I find as soon as that relationship we have to that thing.
Yeah, to that
object or thing.
I understand money is important. And
I mean, it's a tool. It's a tool. Yeah.
But it's not everything.
No.
It never was and it never will be.
And look, we're not taking it with us when we leave
this world. No, definitely not. We're not taking anything
with us. We won't be taking our instruments. I mean, we probably want to, but we won't.
You're probably right, but we're not taking our instruments. But you know what we're taking? We're taking our memories with
us. Yeah, yes, which is the most important.
And that's the most important. Yeah. You know, like I know some people have had those near-death experiences or, you know, and they say your life flashes in front of your eyes, right? Yeah. So in that life, if you see some really good memories, how good is that? Like that's the last thing that you're going to see.
Yeah, that's
You're not going to see your bank account details. You're not going to see the debts that you owe. You're not going to see anything like that.
And a lot of people have that regret on their deathbed.
I know people that have been working and slaving and working all their lives. Well, in the past I've known them where, you know, they've been in that cycle of life where, you know, either they can't get ahead financially or they are, and then greed kicks in and then it's a continuous vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And then they stop all of that and they think, all right, now I'm gonna rest, I'm gonna enjoy myself, you know, and then a week later they're gone.
Yeah.
So
wow, really?
Yeah, I've known a couple of people that have
so like they knew intuitively in a way.
No, they didn't.
No,
they just want.
I mean, maybe in their subconscious somewhere. Like,
yeah, probably. I don't know.
Stopping and then enjoying life.
I think they stopped too late.
Yeah.
I think they didn't stop and smell the roses, and they didn't enjoy as much because they were, you know, your 16, your 17 hour days at work and home. And
we don't want to live our life like that.
No, and but we do. I did that for a while.
I thought,
you know what? It's time to change.
There's other ways. Look, at the moment, I've cut my days down. Like you've got to work around it, and
you do
got to work around it. Look, I'm still working, obviously. I'm not gonna just go, I'm free, and you know, like just run off into the fields.
And it's very important that you did that because it's state of mind, it's your health, it's your mental health.
Yeah, that's the most important mental health. Like I feel like I'm realizing that we should all have one day for ourselves, like a day of a Valentino day, AMLA day, just do things you like.
Yep, and just even if treat it as a public holiday.
Yeah, exactly. Once a week. Holiday. I feel like once a week.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I think that, when I said to myself, and I said, you know, and we sort of like agreed with Anna, with my wife, that we're going to do our artistry full time at the same time.
Yeah.
That was exciting, but it was scary.
Yeah, of course. There's always going to be a bit of fear there jump outside your comfort zone.
And we went through what you went through with the finances and how are we going to do this, how are we going to do that. And look, I worked a lot. We have our budgets and we're pretty good with our budgets. But you know what? We thought, well, you know what? Tomorrow, we don't know what's going to happen. And we both love our art and what we do. And being happy, there's no price you can put on that, right? So we had that period where, you know, finances and this, that, and we had, you know, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to, you know? But I think at the end, if you feel something that you want to do something and you're feeling like we said before, never assume, just if you want to do something, just do it.
You got to go if you're feeling, you have to, otherwise it's just going to eat you up on the inside.
Yeah, it's gonna manifest into that thing where you're not at a good place. And that's where, you know, all this
bitterness will come in. And
bitterness and this regret and the depression and this and that. But bring it to a positive note.
Yeah.
I think what you're doing now, I think I can see it. I can see that your things are opening up for you and things are you've opened up, so things can actually come down your way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've done the same way.
Yeah.
And they're coming. They're coming, you know.
Sometimes we want them to come in faster, but we've got to be impatient. Yeah, it's the impatience. Yeah.
It's impatient.
It won't happen straight away.
And this is one thing that that's one thing that I fought with.
Yeah.
The impatience, especially when I said to myself, I'm going to do this full time again in my life. And that's, I'll just be patient.
Yeah.
And you just can't be impatient.
No.
You just got to open it up and just let people and let things know that you're doing this.
Yep.
And then they'll come your way. And even with this podcast, I was like umming and ahhing and should I do this, should I do that? And you know what? I decided, nah, I'm going to have a crack.
Yeah.
We'll do it. And even though it was at that point of time where I wasn't aware of what I was doing, but didn't know what avenues to take musically, you know, this thing was really clear in my mind. You know, mm-hmm. even me playing and doing gigging or recording or producing wasn't even clear yet at that. I should continue with that. But the podcast was what clear in my mind. We should do this because we need to help. We need to help musicians. We need to help as much as we can. And I think that was the start. That was the building blocks to everything. And then you came on board and you made it even better.
Oh, thank you. Well, like I said, it's really, it's just easy.
Yeah.
It's lots of fun.
It's lots of fun.
Yeah.
Get to meet a lot of people.
Yeah, we get to talk about like really fun topics and meet a lot of different interesting musicians.
People and you get to learn from these people too.
Yeah,
which is good.
So much, yeah.
I've learned a lot from people, even yourself, like even from people having on this podcast. But I think the takeaway is that you need to be happy.
Yes. Enjoy life.
Enjoy life. Yeah. And if it's something that you don't enjoy, things, something that you need to do, see if you can do it quickly and get it out of the way. Do it with the best intentions. Always have the best intentions because, you know, if you don't have the best intentions, then it'll probably come your way tenfold.
And also, like, see, I'm going to throw it out there quickly. So I've got 3 shifts left of relief teaching. It's not something I enjoy. It's been quite difficult because of the unpredictability of it, the classes and stuff. But I know that I have 3 shifts left and that's what I've been bringing the acceptance to. And as soon as I've brought the acceptance in, I've just felt more relaxed generally, even though because we kind of something happens around us and it doesn't necessarily always involve us. But, you know, in that moment, like someone might be having a fight or something and then we just start to go into panic mode or it's just all those little things. But I know this is going to pass and, you know, like it'll pass more quickly, I guess.
You're using the fight or flight mode more rarely now.
Yeah, yeah, because which is good because then you just assume it's just that, again, it's an automatic reaction.
Yeah.
It's automatic reaction. It's what our body does it to protect us.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right. The adrenaline then comes up.
Yeah.
Then you start that panic attack. Then that anxiety comes up.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can minimize that as much as possible,
breathing.
And just leave a 4 on stage. I'm not joking.
Yeah. Well, the breathing helps. That's the thing. Just coming back to the breath. That's what I've learned this year.
That's the basis. That's
the basis.
That's the basis of everything.
We actually forget to breathe. I realize that I hold my breath a lot. And that's just through we don't realize we're doing it because we're too busy rushing from A to B.
Yeah.
And then we forget to actually
I forget to do that on stage.
Yeah, we forget to breathe.
That's why I actually write it.
Yeah, you write it down, yeah.
So I write it down and then don't forget to breathe because when that
it's
when
like
you stop
checking.
To breathe, yeah, when you stop breathing, you start panicking.
But even like driving your car wherever you check in, just go, oh, how am I feeling? It just relaxes you.
That has helped me so much. You can ask my wife about this. It's just changed everything. Like years ago, I would be if someone was driving and doing some mistakes on the road, I'd be going off.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. I just watch it and I just smile.
Yeah.
Now all these road rage and I just smile. I go, you know.
I just go. You're rushing to the bathroom for that curry you ate. That helps me, you know, process.
Yeah. I love it. And then it makes it funny.
Yeah, exactly. You just laugh. That's bringing the enthusiasm. Enjoyment.
Enjoyment. That's what it is.
Yes. Anyway,
thank
you.
Well, you are welcome. Before we go, our sponsors.
Oh, yes. We'd love
Clips.
To.
We've got some cookies.
Delicious.
Choc chip cookies.
And also musicproservices.com.
Musicproservices.com if anyone does need the services of a producer. Or of a musician, musicproservices.com. And also, just want to mention as well our websites, umlamusic.com valentinaflamenco.com as well. We've actually put a lot of hard yards in into these sort of podcasts and trying to make it as
insightful,
as insightful and worthy as possible. And you know, we're heading towards the end of the year as well. We've got probably another couple more to do, another few more to do.
Yeah,
we're going to take a break.
Yeah,
I think. And then we'll do our thanks to everyone and so like that, and then start up again next year. But in saying that, thanks, Amla. Thank you for being on board as well.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Till next time. Ciao.
The Strike Accord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinaFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.